We're doing Tanya 200, celebrating the 200th anniversary of the first publication of the Tanya. We were discussing the relative value and importance of the intention of the mitzvah versus the act of the mitzvah. In the intention of a mitzvah, there are two levels. There is the conscious, intelligent, and personal love and fear that a person creates and generates through his understanding and through his study and through his comprehension of the greatness of God. This produces love that is felt in the revealed part of the heart, in the active part of the heart. And it is on the level of the human, as we described in the previous chapter, versus the love that is inherited and natural, instinctive, that comes from the godly soul which we inherit from our ancestors. This is more animal-like, more like the animal kingdom, where the emotions are dominant or instinctive. The angels are often referred to in the Torah as animals. And the reason is that the angels' love and fear of God, which is awesome, constant, and overwhelming, are instinctive. They don't have the freedom of choice to lean towards God or away from God. Their love of God is involuntary. They can't help being angels. They can't help love or fear God, depending on the nature of the angel. There's the angel that is the angel of love, like the angel Michael. And there's the angel of fear, which is the angel Gavriel, and so on. Now, in the states of creation, the various levels of creation, we generally divide existence into four stages. There is the highest world, the world where only God exists, and then there are the three lower worlds where creatures exist, where there is some self-awareness of the creatures, and there the souls and the angels exist. Now the angels exist in the world of Yetzirah. That's the world of emotion, where the divine attributes of God, the six emotion attributes of God, are revealed. There, angels exist. And that's why angels have the emotions, the love and the fear of God, but they don't have the intelligence which allows for freedom of choice. And that is experienced and exists primarily in the world of Bria, the higher world than Yetzirah, where God's intelligent attributes are revealed. So in God's intelligence, there are souls that are capable of understanding God, of having the intelligence of godliness. In the world of God's emotions, there are angels who have emotions that are godly, love of God, fear of God, etc., but not the intelligence. Now, when a person serves God with intention, he will rise either to the world of Yetzirah or to the world of Bria, depending on the nature of his intentions. If the intention, meaning the excitement, the motivation behind the mitzvah, comes from arousing, stimulating the natural, born, inherited love that every soul has. Let's say, for example, a Jew gets excited because of an experience. He gets excited about the fact that he's Jewish. Something inspires the Jew in him. Whether it's his history, whether it's his fellow Jew, whether it's a threat to his Jewish identity, whatever it is, something sparks the native Jewishness within every Jew. And as a result of that inspiration, he performs a mitzvah. That motivation, that intention, is similar to the intention of the angel, because it too is involuntary. You didn't create it yourself. You didn't make yourself Jewish. You are a Jew by virtue of your soul, and something inspired an appreciation for that fact. Then the soul rises to the level of the world of Yetzirah. He is immersed, he is joined and enveloped in the divine attributes of emotion, because he's working, he's acting, he's doing the mitzvah primarily out of emotion. If, on the other hand, the person inspires himself through his study and comes to understand the greatness of God using the three mental faculties, Chachma, Bina, and Das, and this in turn ignites the heart with an intense and palpable love and fear of God, then this soul has elevated itself to the world of Bria, to the world where God is knowable, because God's knowledge is revealed. Now, there's a difference between being in the presence of God versus appreciating God himself. A person can be very inspired by things godly and not God himself. There's that famous story about the king who invited everyone in the kingdom to come and approach him directly, one-on-one, without going through the channels, without all the protocol. For one day, 24 hours, everybody had the opportunity and the permission to approach the king. All the people came running to the capital city, to the palace. But on their way to seeing the king, many were distracted. Those who appreciated architecture were distracted by the unusual architecture of the capital city. And they stopped to admire it, and they got really inspired by it, and so on. And then there were those who appreciated music, and the Royal Philharmonic was performing, and they stopped and were inspired by the beauty and the greatness of the music. And then there were those who appreciated the exotic flowers and the royal gardens. And then there were those who appreciated the greatness of the ministers and their wisdom. And so all of these people got distracted and spent the entire 24 hours inspired and moved by either the architecture, the music, the flowers, the ministers. But there was a simple man who appreciated none of these things, had no understanding of architecture, of music, and he went directly to the palace, inquired as to where the king is, walked past all the impressive things that one would notice in a palace, and approached the king directly, one-on-one, and had a personal conversation. There are many things godly that one can be inspired by. And when that happens, it is described in Torah as being in God's chamber, being in the palace. But being in the palace doesn't mean that you appreciate God himself. You're appreciating something about him. You're appreciating things godly, but not God himself. Now, in the intentions that a person could have, in the kavanah that a person is capable of, he can either be appreciating God himself, or he can be appreciating godliness. Godliness is in the world of Yetzirah, the world of angels. Angels appreciate all things godly, but they don't hear God. They can't relate to the things God wants, because he's God. Not because he's infinite, not because he's awesome, holy, and omnipotent, but because he's God. And what are those things? Those are the commandments. Those saintly people, those great tzaddikim, who not only appreciate godliness, but appreciate God himself, have an insight, have an understanding of the mitzvah of God's will, of God's thinking. So one can be inspired by the godliness in nature, by the beauty in nature, and that brings you into the chambers of godliness, into the palace. When one appreciates the mitzvah, when one understands God's will, almost anticipates God's will, these are the great sages and saints who were able to explain God's laws, who are able to understand what it is God wants in his commandments. And that's why without the sages, without the Talmud, for example, without the Mishnah, we would read the commandment and not understand what it is God wants. Of course, the obvious example, where God says, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, what does he mean by that? What is he saying? Without the sages, we would make the terrible mistake of thinking that God wants to take an eye from the person who had taken an eye from someone else, which is not what God meant, because now that the sages have pointed it out, it's rather clear that God is talking about payment of an eye for an eye and not more, payment of a tooth for a tooth and not more. So we're talking about monetary compensation, not about inflicting physical damage. But how does a sage know that? How does Moses understand what God is saying? How does Rabbi Akiva interpret the law? How does Hillel know what pleases God? This is the greatness of those who understand God himself, not only godliness. And the difference, again, is that one exists in the world of Yetzirah. God's emotions are available. Those who respond to those emotions are living in the world of the emotion, the world of Yetzirah. God's wisdom is available, and those who respond to that or understand that live in the world of understanding, in the world of Bria. There's a higher world, the highest world of Atzilus. There is no understanding. There is no wisdom, because there you're encountering a part of God that is higher than even divine wisdom. It's God himself. And there only the greatest of saints, the patriarchs, for example, exist on that level, where they are so completely humble, so completely transparent to God, that they have no will of their own. God's will is their will, and they are therefore called the chariot. They are the chariot of godliness. Now, when a person understands all that he can understand of godliness, then the love that he produces is called an active love in the revealed part of the heart. When a person is moved by the natural emotion, by the inherited love and fear that every soul has, that love and fear is experienced not so much in the revealed part of the heart as it is in the concealed part of the heart. It's kind of in the recesses of the heart. There is a connection, there is an inseparable bond, but it doesn't show itself as a palpable emotion with great excitement and drama. But even the person who is not capable of developing an emotion, of creating a love and fear of God, and he's not even capable of arousing the natural love, which means that he can't even inspire the love that already exists He can't activate it. And so he does the mitzvah without any intention at all. Now, we're not talking about doing a mitzvah for ulterior motives, with the wrong intention. As, for example, a person who does a mitzvah because he wants to be considered pious, so that he'll get honor, or he'll be honored. That's an ulterior motive. That's having an intention, but having an unholy intention, the wrong intention. That really gets in the way. And that locks up the godly energy to where you can't proceed after that unless you do tshuva, unless you remove that obstacle through regret and return to godliness. But we're talking here about a person who has no intention, not the wrong intention. He's simply doing the mitzvah out of habit. Perhaps he once had intention, but then after repeating the mitzvah, it became habitual, and now he doesn't bother to inspire himself or to motivate himself. He does it out of habit. What does it take to inspire yourself? In order to be inspired, you have to activate, you have to energize the feelings you have for the person for whom you're doing the favor. If you do your friend a favor, it's because you're conscious of the friendship, you're conscious of the value that this person represents in your life, or how important it is to have them in your life. And out of that appreciation, you do him a favor. Not in return, but appreciating the value of the person motivates you to do him the favor. In order to do a mitzvah with intention, with kavanah, you have to be moved by the presence of God in your life, what he means to you, what role he plays in your existence, and then that awareness will motivate or energize the enthusiasm with which you fulfill the mitzvah. But when you're not moved by the relationship, when you haven't been excited by the thought that God is part of your life, that God is in your life, that doesn't move you. You're going to do the mitzvah anyway because of the habit. Then the soul doesn't rise like a bird without wings. The soul doesn't rise in the fulfillment of that mitzvah. And even so, even though the mitzvah is not rising to the higher worlds of Yetzirah or of Bria, even so, the fact of the mitzvah, the act of the mitzvah, is infinitely valuable. And he doesn't need to do tshuva. He doesn't need to undo anything unholy, because there was nothing unholy in the fulfillment of this mitzvah. The next time that he does a mitzvah with inspiration, all the mitzvahs he had performed habitually all rise together with this new inspiration. So all he needs to do is inspire himself for the next mitzvah and fulfill one mitzvah with enthusiasm, with awareness of whose mitzvah he is fulfilling, who is the commander of the mitzvah, the commander of the commandment, and then all the mitzvahs that he had observed, all the mitzvahs he had performed, without any particular intention, without an awareness of the commander, all of them now rise and elevate his soul to the higher worlds, either of Yetzirah or of Bria. So the world of Atzilus, which is the exclusive domain of the great saints, the chariots of godliness, the patriarchs and so on, this is not our problem. We needn't worry about that. The three lower worlds, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya, that's where we have some potential, some possibilities. So if we study Torah and develop an appreciation of godliness in our mind, which produces an emotion in the heart, then we enter into the world of Bria. where we understand God himself more than just godliness. If we are excited and inspired by our native godliness, by the fact that we inherit, we are a piece of God by virtue of our godly soul, and when we arouse that appreciation, when we are glad to serve God with our soul, then we rise and elevate ourselves to the level of the divine emotions, love and fear, the world of Yetzirah. When we do the mitzvah without any kavana at all, without any inspiration at all, we're doing it simply because of habit, without wrong intention, without introducing ungodly interests, then we're operating on the level of the world of asiya, on the world of action itself, without even the emotion. But that is divine, because the mitzvah is divine. It's just waiting to be released. It's waiting to be elevated. And so the next mitzvah that we fulfill with enthusiasm, all of those divine acts, or should we say acts of divinity, when we fulfill any of the commandments or of the traditions and customs that have become sacred and have taken on a divine quality, when we observe any of those commandments, when we perform them, even absent-mindedly, without any intention at all, simply out of habit, then all of those divine acts, all of those pieces of divinity, rise and are elevated through the inspiration that we experience at a later date in the performance of some other mitzvah. So it's godliness waiting to rise. So on the one hand, the Rebbe is saying that the intention is essential for the elevation of the soul through by introducing either divine wisdom or divine emotion. And on the other hand, even without the divine wisdom, even without the divine emotion, to do that which is meaningful to God, even when we feel nothing meaningful at all, even when the act seems totally meaningless to the person performing it, to where you hear people saying, I don't need this. I have no need for this. I don't see what this does for me. Or it doesn't do anything for me. And this discourages people from performing a mitzvah. The truth is that the mitzvah stands on its own merit. The mitzvah is divine because of the meaning that it has to God. A commandment is meaningful to the commander, even if it's not meaningful to the commanded. Commandee. So that a person who says, I don't appreciate the need for this commandment, is really misreading the whole story. The commandment was not meant to be meaningful to the observer. A commandment is a favor that we do for the commander. And this commandment is obviously meaningful to him. So if God is invested, and he is, in the mitzvah, if putting on tefillin means something to him, and it does, if keeping kosher means something to God, if God has invested himself in these things, if God looks forward to these things to fulfill his plan, his purpose, his intention, his desire, or whatever it is, then even when it doesn't feel meaningful to us, which is sad, because if in fact the mitzvah is so meaningful that it actually justifies or explains or motivates the creation of the entire universe, then it's sad that we should not appreciate or feel at least some of the meaningfulness of the mitzvah. But even if we don't, even when we don't, the fact that it's meaningful to God makes it infinitely meaningful. The fact that it is a divine interest, a divine will, makes it divinely meaningful. So that just knowing that what we're doing is significant, meaningful, and indispensable to God, as Rambam says that one of the 13 principles of faith in Judaism is that God will never change these commandments. There will never be a time when God will not need or want or desire tefillin or mikveh or mezuzah or Shabbos or kosher or any of the commandments, because they are so essential to him that they're not optional. He doesn't discard them or change them at whim for other mitzvahs. So this is an integral part of God's desire, of God's will, and knowing that we are fulfilling or performing an act that is that meaningful to God, that itself should give us a respect and an appreciation of the act of the mitzvah, even when we fail to invest it with any kind of kavana, with any kind of energy at all, neither intelligent energy nor emotional energy. And that's why we should always do a mitzvah, even when we don't understand or appreciate its meaning, even though that means that the mitzvah has no wings, and it doesn't rise, and it doesn't elevate the soul to the higher worlds. Yet the Talmud says, the Gemara says, a person should always do a mitzvah even without the proper intention, because in the end, he will do it with the proper intention. And this doesn't mean that eventually he will start to do mitzvahs with good intention, and the mitzvahs that he did without good intention are merely practice for the time when he will have the intention. What it means is that the mitzvah I perform today without intention will eventually gain the mitzvah itself, will eventually gain the energy and the excitement and the inspiration of true intention when I next do a mitzvah with a little bit of inspiration. So that even the mitzvah performed without the excitement will rise and will itself become a mitzvah with intention, because it's already divine, it's already significant, it's already eternally meaningful. It just needs a little bit of input, and the next time that we have that input, all the mitzvahs rise, they all gain their wings.